This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. That's the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself."
What a blessing it is for us to be here as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I do want to say from the onset, it's good to have our visitors with us. Let you know that you are indeed our honored guest and always pleased to see the people of God here at 9th and Main. I want to let you know that you could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be where God told you to be. And for that, we are grateful and we give you the encouragement that is needed in order to continue to fight the good fight of faith. If you're visiting with us, you'll see the QR code on the screen. There you will see the notes, and usually we tend to stay with the notes as much as possible. And when we consider what we have been talking about all month, we have been talking about making the connection and how sometimes the connection is made for us, and sometimes we are privileged to make the connection ourselves. Well, this morning I want us to continue in that vein of thinking, but I want us to think about making the connection as we focus upon heaven, as we focus upon heaven. There's a song that my family used to sing all the time when we were attending Dale Crest Church of Christ, and it was called "Heaven is on the Other Side." And it's a beautiful song. Dustin is shaking his head, and it's a beautiful song. Heaven is on the other side, and it is. And when we think about that song, it ought to bring a smile to your face. Anytime you talk about heaven, we ought to be smiling because we know that there is a being there that is waiting for us, longing for us, and if I can say it in an accommodative way, cheering for us, so we can live with him. But there's another song, "When we all get to heaven," and we can easily say, "When the saved get to heaven." Either way, it's true. Those who are saved are all the ones that are going to go to heaven. And so when we consider that song, it's a beautiful song as well. How beautiful heaven must be. And friends, it is a beautiful place. And the Bible gives us snippets all through the scriptures of how beautiful heaven is. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. That's a great, great song as relates to heaven, because it will be a great fellowship. And aren't we thankful that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy that fellowship? We get to have a taste of that fellowship even today. But what a friend we have in Jesus. It's interesting that the friendship that we have with our brother, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Messiah, what a blessing it is to be able to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We'll talk more about that. Friends, we need Jesus. We need that relationship with him, with the Father, in order for us to understand and appreciate the glories of being focused upon heaven and how we ought to be a people who are faithful to God and demonstrating great fruit in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And so for a few minutes, I want us to talk about what does it mean to be focused upon heaven and why should we be faithful to Christ and his kingdom. And how can we bear fruit unto God? You know, we need more lessons on heaven. It gives us this idea, this picture that God is painting for us through the scriptures. And we get to see a demonstration of that in our fellowship. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21, gave you a little brief outline in the notes there. And when we consider this great chapter, especially when you think about Paul and he talks about his great pedigree and the things he accomplished under Judaism. And he says, I count them as dung, as rubbish, that I may win Christ. We consider all of the accomplishments that this great man of God made, and he said that means absolutely nothing in comparison to knowing Christ, to winning Christ. And so Paul realizes in verse number 12 that he is still striving toward learning the master. He also understood that he had to demonstrate the proper attitude of doing what? Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward those things, or reaching toward those things that are ahead and pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Here is a man that was striving. You would say, I want to be just like Paul, and we should. But even Paul says, I'm still stretching. I'm still using everything that is within me to learn Christ. And he wanted to press toward that goal. What is the goal? It's perfection in Christ. He's waiting for the resurrection, if you will, that great resurrection day where all of the faithful will be raised from the dead and they will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and they will be given a new body. 1 John 3:1-3, in order for them to live with God throughout eternity. What a great, great day that Paul was looking forward to. But then, verse 17, he says, follow the righteous example and keep on noting them. Keep on noting them. It's in what is known as the present active indicative. Keep on noting those who are walking according to the pattern. And make no mistake about it, there's a pattern that God wants us to walk according. And when you find someone walking according to that pattern, they have their focus on heaven, keep on noting that person. The opposite is just as true, Brother Royce, in Romans 16:17, as it relates to the false teacher. Note those who are causing divisions contrary to the doctrine. Mark them, avoid them. And then verse 18, beware of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ in verse 18. And Paul at one time says, at one time these men were walking faithful with God like demons, but now I tell you, even weeping, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Brethren, as we are on our way to heaven, we'll experience that type of turbulence. We'll experience that type of hardship. People who at one time obeyed the gospel, living faithful, doing what is right, preaching the word, living the way that God will have them to live, and just fall off the deep end. We've experienced that. We've seen that. And if you haven't seen that, you will eventually, if the Lord continues to tarry. But in verse 20 and 21, he says, our focal point, our citizenship. That's kingdom language there. Our citizenship, keep in mind that Paul was a Roman citizen and would appeal to it often. Just like we need to appeal to our U.S. citizenship. And we shouldn't take that for granted. But Paul would appeal to his Roman citizenship, but use this language. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. Our focus is heaven. Our name is written in heaven. And as the people of God, we need to keep that in mind. But notice what he says, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. And then he tells us who that Savior is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In another text, it will tell us it's God the Father. But that makes sense, because God the Father will be sending the Lord Jesus Christ to pick up his people, to gather his people. It's the great gathering day, according to Philippians chapter 3, 14 through verse number 16. It's the great gathering day that we're looking forward to. And God will do something amazing. He's going to transform our vile bodies, the King James would render, our lowly bodies, the New King James would render, and conform it to his glorious body, the body that Jesus received when he left this earth on that cloud. Acts 1. And verse number 9. Jesus left this earth upon a cloud. He steps on the cloud and he's taken up to the Ancient of Days, according to Daniel chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. That's a very powerful thought right there, because the apostles, as they were looking to Jesus, and there was the angel there in white, and he is communicating with the apostles, saying, "Why stand ye there gazing up into the heavens?" The same way in which he went up is the same way he will return. This Jesus who was resurrected from the dead with a body like he had, a human body, John 21, something would change when he enters into heaven, and we will receive that glorious body. Friends, this is the attitude. These are the things we need to be thinking about. We need to be making these connections as well. We've talked about many connections throughout this month, but we need to make this connection. What connection should we make? Number one, we need to make the connection that we need to focus upon heaven. Why? Because that's where our citizenship is. That is where our Lord and Savior, when he was upon the earth, he would look up to the sky, if you will, metaphorically speaking, and he would address his Father, who is above the expanse, above the sky, that realm that is not part of the earth. And so when you consider the heavens, there is the heavens that is part of the earth. That's not the heavens where God is. He's talking about the expanse. He's talking about the place, the domain, the realm where is above even the heavens. We stop and we consider that Paul would long to be in this particular place. It made me think about the older people get, and they are tired of being in this body, this human body. They just want to leave and go home and be with God. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, because even Paul experienced that, yet he saw it more needful for him to remain in the flesh, that the people of God may bear fruit, that the people of God may benefit from his righteous mentality, his heavenly thinking, his motivating ideas of being faithful to God. But look at Colossians 3 and verse number 2. For even Peter would understand that our pilgrimage down here is exactly that. It is a pilgrimage. We're sojourners. This is not our home. Sometimes we act like it is, but it's not. Every time someone leaves this earth, it ought to remind us that this is not home. Every time we see someone in a coffin, it ought to remind us this is not home. No wonder Solomon would say in Ecclesiastes 7, 1 through 3, that it's better to go to the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. Why? Because this is where man will understand his end. He knows he's on his way there too, unless the Lord comes back first. Peter understood we're sojourners here, implying that this is not our home. But look at Colossians 3 and verse 1 and 2. If, and really that word if should be translated since you were raised with Christ. Why should it be since, Brother Mike? Because he just finished talking about being immersed in Christ, according to Colossians 2, 11 through verse number 14. Since then you were raised with Christ. Notice, seek those things which are above, heavenly things, where Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God. Brethren, we have the responsibility to be focusing on heavenly things. Verse 2, set your affections, your mind on things above and not things on the earth. This convicted me yesterday. Sometimes I can get so mad at myself, like, man, what's wrong with you? Why are you so carnally minded sometimes? You ever get like that? If you're honest. If you're thinking heavenly things and you find those lapse of judgment, sit there and you make bad decisions. Or you make decisions that you know that are not heavenly. Like, man, what's wrong with you? I'm talking about myself. I ain't talking about y'all. But sometimes these passages convict. Set your affections, your mind, the New King James renders, but literally it's your affections, that's everything about you, on things that are above. Why? Because we need to be focused on heavenly things. And our heavenly thoughts should reflect the one that is up there. Heaven is where our hope is located. If you look at your notes, you'll see four things that I put there. And look at Revelation 21. I gave you all of those notes. Don't plan on looking at all of them. Some of these things you can go home and you can study them for yourself. But we do want to get a good idea of making the connection that heaven should be our focal point. Not here. Not here. And it is true, the things that we accumulate down here can become our idols. Sometimes people become our idols. Sometimes we ourselves become our idols. We think more highly than we ought to of ourselves. But here, heaven is where our hope is located. Where's your hope? Our hope should be where God placed it. It should be in that new system of life, Revelation 21, 1 and 2. That new heaven, that new earth, where righteousness dwells, 2 Peter 3, verse number 13. And so here we see that John is receiving revelation. John is receiving this from the angel who got it from Jesus, who received it from his Father. Notice the transmission of information there. But in verse 4, notice the great hope of no remembrance. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Why? For the former things have passed away. Isn't that beautiful? Heaven will be a place where I don't have to worry about what took place down here long ago. There's some things that we're seeing on the news that should break our hearts. Just like our fellow man that is going through some very turbulent times concerning the weather, that ought to break our hearts. When you have a tornado that's ripping through a place over 100 miles long and devastating the lives of the people, that ought to break our hearts. Praise be to God, you'll never see a tornado in heaven. Why? Because those things are identified with sin. Those things are identified with the earth. Brother Mike, what do you mean by that? You just made a statement. What does that mean? You know, there was no rain, there was no storms, there was no earthquakes, there was no hurricanes, no tornadoes, no typhoons until after sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve had it good, Brother Tobias. Yeah, sorry about that. Adam and Eve had it good, right? But when they sinned, they brought all of the calamities that came with it. But God is going to give us a place, and that's going to be a place where we have full fellowship with him. Look at verse 22 through 27. Full fellowship. And I really want to capitalize on this point. This is the point I really want us to capitalize on. In verses 22 to verse 27, our hope of full fellowship, but I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty, talking about Jehovah, and the Lamb, talking about the Word, which became flesh, are its temple, are its dwelling place, if you will. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God lit it up, illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. You know, we can walk in the light now. You walk according to his word, Psalm 119, 105. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or cause any abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Brethren, did you hear that? Full fellowship. We don't have to worry about the things that defile, just like the church of our Lord today have to experience wheat and tares. The church of our Lord today have to experience righteousness and unrighteousness. Just have to, it's part of it. And Jesus said, let them grow together. But there's a place where righteousness dwells that we don't have to worry about unrighteousness being there. We don't have to worry about nasty attitudes. Don't have to worry about sin. Don't have to worry about anything that is identified with this world. Why? Because it's heaven. It's heaven. And it is exactly what we're looking for. But Heaven is where the evidence of a righteous life is located. Just like when we consider our lives down here, our lives are the evidence of our wisdom. And we understand that according to Matthew 19, verse 11, or Matthew 11, verse 19, rather. And so when we consider the faithful shall bring their glory into heaven, and I've been pondering that and thinking about that, I'm like, that's interesting, that's amazing. I need to meditate on that. And did realize, what is our glory? What is our honor? Is it not the righteous life that we live based upon the righteous word of God, which we receive from God? Yes, it is. Men shall see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We live a righteous life, as Paul would say in Philippians chapter 3. And our righteous life, we're going to take that into heaven. Why? Because we just took what God's word said and we meditated upon it. We applied it to our lives. We added it to our faith, and we're going to take it right back to where it came from. Our glory and our honor is going to follow us. And no wonder John would write Revelation 14, 13. The Holy Spirit told him to write, blessed. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Listen to this. Yea, henceforth saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. This is why we have to live righteous lives right now, so it can follow us later. But I believe that he's talking about a few different things there. How will our righteous lives follow us? It will follow us because we're going to leave a trail of righteousness behind us, even though we've left this world. But it's also going to follow us right up into glory. Isn't that beautiful? What are you going to leave behind? What are you taking with you? I remember in San Antonio's brother named Sam Morrell. He visited here a few months back. And he told the story of a guy that wanted to bring his gold up into heaven. So he got up to the gates, and the Lord said, what do you got there? He said, I got my gold. He said, why did you bring pavement? He said, man, there's a street of gold right there. We don't need more pavement. Y'all get that when you get home. We don't need to take the gold with us. You know what we need to take? We need to take our righteous lives with us. Our focus is on heaven. No wonder Paul would be gazed up into heaven, metaphorically speaking, in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He said, our citizenship is up there. And sometimes our thinking is too low. Our focus is too low. Our aim is too low. And this is why wherever I go, I tell the church, wherever I go, stop calling yourself sinners. Because what you tell yourself is how you live. Call yourself what God calls you. Call yourself a saint. There will be no sinners in heaven. There will be saints there. There will be righteous ones there under every dispensation of time, every stewardship of time, every period of time, if you will, patriarchal system, Mosaic system, yea, Christian dispensational system. Here, all of the righteous of all times, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 40, will enter into the glories of heaven at the same time. God is no respecter of persons. And we're going to reign forever. What will reign, the brethren? Why should we focus on heaven now? Because we're going to take our glory into heaven. We're going to reign with our Lord, our Master, forever and ever. Why is that important? Because our spiritual character is so important. But then heaven is where our God is located. Again, when Jesus would pray and Paul would pray and Peter would pray, we have divine revelation of how they would say, our Father who art in heaven. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3, verse 14. God is in heaven, we're on earth. Jesus said, I'm from above, you're from down here below. There's a distinction, friends, between heaven and earth. But look at Revelation 22. Look at 1 through 5. Heaven is where our God is located. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Remember, the tree was in the garden on the earth at one time. Now, look where it is. It's in heaven. And notice what he goes on to say, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. When we think about the idea of curse, we're talking about death. Jesus became a curse for us on the cross. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall, what? See his appearance, see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We will see God. Right now, we see God through the actions of his people. Right now, we see God when we read his word. Matthew 5 and verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's actually in the future tense. The pure in heart, the humble in heart, the holy hearted, the honest hearted, the good hearted in Christ will one day see God. Heaven should be our focus. If not, why not? What's your focus? Do you get upset with yourself when heaven is not your focus? I do. Every day, 2 Corinthians 13:5, we need to be looking at our lives every single day. Every single day, because it only takes a few bad decisions, a few things that we have in our sight, a few things that come on our tablets, our phones, a few things that come across our text messages, a few things that come across our television, a few things that we see on the billboard, a few things that we've interact with. And the next thing you know, we make a series of bad decisions that if we don't correct, well, it will hinder our life in heaven. Number two, being faithful to Christ in view of heaven. So we talked about focusing on heaven, now being faithful to Christ. As I have been studying Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians, I have been gleaning so much from them. And it's only right that the congregation here benefits from that. But when we consider being faithful to Christ in view of heaven, heavenly thinking results in godliness and fellowship. Fellowship, godliness. And no wonder Philippians 1 verse number 27, only let your conduct, your conversation, the King James renders, your lifestyle be that which is worthy of the gospel of Christ. But he says, whether I come or am absent. Brent, that ought to encourage us. Whether someone is watching us or not, we ought to be faithful to God. We ought to be striving for heavenly thinking. And so Philippians 2, 1 through 4, that heavenly thinking, that faithfulness involves our love, which promotes unity and oneness and harmony and humility, which is in Christ. Brethren, we got to work on that. We have to be humble. As I was studying this and looking at this and really pondering this, it makes sense that Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these things down in verses 1 through 4, Peyton, because when he gets to 5 through 7, it makes more sense that here, I'm going to not please myself, Romans 15, 3, which is the hardest thing to do, especially in the Western world. We love pleasing me. But Paul, by inspiration, has this heavenly thinking here, and he encourages the brethren to esteem others better than self. Let there be no strife among you. Build one another up. And so when you come to having the mind of Christ, no wonder Jesus or the word of God, to be more precise in my speech. The word of God, what did he do? He humbled himself under Jehovah. And he made up his mind, Sister Evelyn, to leave the spirit realm and put on flesh, Brother Royce. And when he put on that flesh, he did that in fulfilling the will of God and the interest of man, putting his interest last. That makes sense. What does it mean for him being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking upon him the form of a servant? What does that mean? He said, not my will, but your will be done. Those who have that mentality are heaven bound and heaven focused. But the world we live in today and have been living in, if it don't go my way, you're going to have problems out of me. Jesus did not have that attitude. Jesus's attitude was, we need to go save mankind. The Father's will was, I need to send you. Here is the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, sending Jesus Christ to a people who have sinned against him under his wrath. And God knew that he needed to have them come back home to him, those who had a desire. And those are the ones who are righteous. Those are the ones who are spiritual. Those are the ones who are disciplined. Brother Leon, we need to keep working on that. In Philippians 4, look at verse 8 and 9. Here we see this heaven-bound thinking. We see faithful thinking in view of heaven. Finally, brethren, I was teasing Brother Royce. I said, oh, you know, sometimes I have 2, 3, 4 closings. And I said, well, Paul had 2 closings in the book of Philippians, Philippians 3 verse number 1 and Philippians 4 verse number 8. And if Paul can have 2, I can have 3. Y'all laugh. It's okay. Brother Mike, you ain't Paul. I know. But he did have 2 closings in this book. Finally, brethren, notice what he says. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, do what? Think, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. He says, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Brethren, did you hear that? Our focus is on heaven. If we're going to make the connection, it requires us thinking on the right things down here. And when we think on the right things down here, then we make the connection up there. But Colossians chapter 1, look at Colossians 1. Heavenly thinking results in godliness and fellowship, but being spiritual involves thankfulness and fellowship. So in Colossians chapter 1, 3 through 5, notice what he says here. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. He didn't say all the sinners. He said the saints, brethren. Brethren, we need to be calling ourselves saints. Why? Because we're getting ready to go home because of the hope which is laid up for you where? On the renovated earth. No, in heaven. Right where it belongs. Right where God is. Brethren, our hope is in heaven. And that's where we ought to be focusing on, which you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel of your, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Brethren, did you see this? God wants us to be focused and he wants us to be thankful. And so in chapter 2, be thankful. Chapter 3, verse 15, be thankful. Can I say this? Shouldn't you be thankful that you're a member of the church of Christ? Look at Colossians 3, verse 15. In Colossians 3, verse number 15, notice what Paul here says, by inspiration, meaning that he didn't make this up. And let the peace of God in your heart, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in how many bodies? one body and be thankful. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ. Friends, God is going to send his son back, 1 Corinthians 15:23-24, for the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ. He's not going to send it back for denominationalism. Some of us need to keep that in our minds. He's going to send it back for his bride. The bride is the church, and the church is the body, and the body is the kingdom, and the kingdom is the temple, and he's going to send it back for her. Make no mistake about it, brethren. Heavenly people think that way, and we need to be vigilant in that. As I close, point number three, you get the last one on that one. We talked about focusing on heaven, being faithful to Christ in view of heaven, but the last one, fruitful because of heaven. We have the word of God. God's word teaches us what we must do in order to bear fruit unto God. Romans 7 verse 4. And because we have the word of God, brethren, we ought to be a people. Philippians chapter 1, go there. Look at verse number 9 through 11. We ought to be bearing fruit unto God. What type of fruit? Fruit of righteousness. Paul, in his prayer to the brethren here at Philippi, and he loved these brethren because they loved him. They really loved him. And this I pray, that your love, notice what he is praying for, that your love may abound still more and more in what? In knowledge and all discernment. We talked about that a few weeks ago. In order that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Here it is. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul's prayer was for the people of God to be fruitful. Why? Because of heaven. Because heaven is worth it. Heaven is worth us being fully pleasing unto him. Heaven is worth it. As we close, go to Ephesians 5. And look at verse number 8 and 9. Heaven is worth it. Therefore, we ought to be bearing fruit. What type of fruit? What should our fruit look like? For you were once darkness. Notice how he talks to the church at Ephesus. He said, you were once darkness. Which means that Mike Bonner don't have the right to walk in darkness right now because I was once darkness. I don't have that right. Now, that does not mean God is going to overpower my will. He's not going to do that. I have to choose to submit my will to his will. But I have no right. Once I put my hand to the plow, once I obeyed the gospel, once I took on Jesus Christ in baptism for the remission of sins, and it's still necessary today. Once I did that, I don't have a right to walk in darkness. He said, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But what? Expose them. Friends, heaven, is it worth it? It's worth every minute. It's worth everything in us. Sister Bonner said one time, and I appreciated it years ago, she said it takes everything in us to go to heaven. It's going to take everything you got because you have an enemy. We have an enemy that's trying to do what? Destroy us. Jesus says with his own mouth, for the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life. Don't take the devil lightly, because truth be told, he's trying to kill every last one of us. He wants us to die and be lost. But heaven, you know, I could have easily talked about the street of gold, the walls of jasper, all of those physical things that we like to see and hear. But that's not what heaven is about. I made the point that we get to see God's face. That's what heaven's about. That point right there. So I get to see God's face one day if I just am faithful to him. There's a lot in that. But if we can remain faithful, I was thinking about this when Brother Leon was praying. What an amazing thing to be in the presence of people that you know will go to heaven one day, whether you go there or not. That's an amazing thought. Not all, even in this room, will go to heaven. That's a sad thought. But it's your choice if you don't. Amen? And it may be the one that's talking to you, which tells me that I have to watch my life and my teaching closely just like you do. And I don't turn away from my righteousness unto unrighteousness. If we listen to the world, everybody's going to heaven. But if you listen to God, he tells us who's going. And so let's focus on heaven. Let's focus on heaven. It's a beautiful place. Not because of all of the amenities, but because who is there. And when we focus on that, because Jesus is in the church right now, Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, we can have the mind of Christ right now. We can experience the glories of heaven right now through righteousness. Brethren, we're going to heaven, but we need each other to get there. Because of that great fellowship that we have with him, we ought to have with one another. Hopefully, you'll be thinking that way the rest of this week. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Great God and Father, you're good to us, too good to us. Pray to Father that we'll humble ourselves more and realize that you really want us to be home with you. Help us, Father, to be a people like Paul who wanted to know your son. And help us to be like Peter who understood that this was just a pilgrimage. And help us to be like your son who always looked to you and wanted to please you. Father, we allow the distractions of this world at times to hinder our walk. It gets in our way. It causes us to lose sight on what's important. Sometimes we allow people to get in the way too, Father, and for that we ask for strength and wisdom and motivation from our brethren as we build up one another in the most holy faith. Pray to Father that you forgive us when we fall short, when we sin, when we make those missteps, those mistakes, and when we mess up royally, Father, help us to have the humility to say we've sinned against you and we ask for your forgiveness, for we know you're faithful and just to forgive. Ask the Father that you be with the congregation here. Be with those who are visiting with us, those who may not know Jesus Christ for the pardon of their sins, have not obeyed the gospel. Father, we know you want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Pray to Father that we'll do our part. We're thankful, dear Father, for the members here, their love for you, their love for truth, their love for one another. Ask the Father that they will continue to grow in that love and that it may abound. Again, Father, we thank you for your son. We're thankful that he loved us enough to give us a way back home to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider. We want you to consider the plan of salvation from heaven's perspective. We want you to be considering heaven. We've talked about it for the last 35 minutes. I think we've said enough to at least whet the palate that if you have a desire to go home and be with God, you have to come through Jesus Christ. You have to come through the church of Christ. And that's the only one going there. So in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you all the children of God through faith, for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, that put on Christ. And for by one spirit, you're all baptized into one body. That's the church of Christ. And one still means one. And we need to keep that in mind. Brethren, friends, family, one is one. Let's keep it simple. If you want to be saved, if you want to be in the church, if you want to be in Christ, you got to go through the one. And that's Christ and his church. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Willing to repent of sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. for the remission of his sins. You can't ask Jesus in your heart. Can't say the sinner's prayer. Those are lies. Those are absolute lies. They're not even in the Bible, the Word of God. These are things that men have concocted and made up over the period of time, and people have taken it hook, line, and sinker. We give you the Word of God. Child of God, and you haven't been faithful. Brethren, let's be faithful to God. Let's be faithful to God. Let's keep heaven on our minds as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.